Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hello and welcome to the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Clint Campbell, and you're listening to episode number 92, brought to you by Wicked Tree Gear. Today is part 6 of the DIY Report Daily Rut Log, so stay tuned. Alright folks, welcome back to another episode of the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast, and you're listening to episode 92. Today is part 6 of the DIY Report Daily Rut Log, and we are covering days 7, 8, and 9. Sorry, I've been a little on the lazy side of getting these out daily. That was my ambitious, my ambitiousness getting a hold of me when I kind of dedicated myself to doing one a day and then fell short. Going to just be completely honest, been asked out tired on some of these days to where doing a podcast at the end of the night really wasn't in the cards. It'd probably just be mainly incoherent ramblings. So I figured I would spare you all of that and do it when I had a little bit of energy. So today is covering three days. It would be, I guess, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll start with Tuesday. So, well, I guess first, before we jump into that, I will just make mention, you know, even just driving around to and back and forth from, you know, hunting in the mornings to the evenings and stuff like that, we've been seeing decent bucks actually in the mornings and in the evenings. I actually saw a hammer drop tine buck. It looked like he was a 10, mainframe 10 with a drop on his left side. And then Tate's seen a couple bucks and feeding out into fields and stuff like that looked to be pretty good deer as well. So, you know, there's been a deer sightings, albeit at night, but they were all in the areas in which we were hunting. So that was at least, you know, I guess a positive sign. So Tuesday, the morning, really, I think I mentioned this in the previous podcast, you know, it was likely going to be a rest kind of morning for me. That was, you know, at that point I'd been kind of at it, you know, for 7 days doing all day sits. So it was definitely, you know, needing kind of a morning to recharge the batteries, and just the weather was going to be really bad that morning. So we're talking some pretty nasty wind and some rain. So the plan was really to sleep in that morning. Unfortunately, our awning started to blow and rip on the side of the camper. So instead of sleeping in, I was still up at 4:30 a.m. outside wrestling with an awning in the rain, trying to get that under control. That way we weren't having to pay for damages to the camper that we rented. So that was the beginning of Tuesday. I did get out into the timber on Tuesday in the afternoon, and I ended up kind of climbing into a small tree in my saddle lower on this particular ridge, because as I've been watching these deer kind of in the past, I guess the previous year that I hunted this area, and then when my buddy Tate had hunted this area, the deer kind of filter out at times from below, you know, this kind of like doe bedding area that's right below, you know, where I have the tree that I'm hunting out of. And so I wanted to kind of investigate that. And what I ended up finding out was this, you know, what kind of seemed like a runoff at the top, because of it's just so full of green briars and stuff like that. It just doesn't look like it has any road type quality. When you get down the ridge a little further and you follow it out, it actually is an old logging road. And so then what I realized I think I might have mentioned on the other podcast that I thought that, you know, there was maybe some buck rut beds on the opposite side of this, you know, now that I know it's an old grown up logging road. You know, I'm not so sure that that's dedicated necessarily rut bedding. I walked through that and I didn't find any beds. But what I think is happening is I think these deer are following this road from down low, because the lower part of this ridge is just completely tore up with sign. It has been in the years past, and it is again this year. And there's a power line that kind of runs along the edge of it, and there's a bunch of thick stuff around it. So I'm imagining that there's a fair amount of feeding that goes on in this area, as well as I'm imagining it's probably another section of doe bedding. I've yet to walk completely through it, but that's kind of, you know, where my mind is kind of leading me. And then in the morning, you know, oftentimes does will be coming back to bed using this road, because a lot of times they're coming from in front of me in the mornings. So I figured, you know, and I've had bucks travel that lower side as well. That's how I killed the one that I killed out here a couple years ago. And that's where I saw a hammer on, what was that? I guess Monday kind of was doing the same thing. That's kind of what led me to kind of think of, you know, hunting that lower side. Not only that, but also it would get me out of the wind as well. Because the other thing I was starting to put together, and I'll get to this a little later, is I haven't seen as much activity as I've seen in years past in this particular location. It picked up today, and I have a hypothesis as to why that is. But so Tuesday, I ended up hunting a little lower and didn't see anything. I really liked the tree that I was in. I think it could be a really good ambush spot. You know, if you were missing out on the buck action up top, it might be a place. I would say prior to chasing taking place and hardcore seeking, I would think that this would be a good place to kind of set up, because all the seeking and all the chasing kind of happens at the top, because the doe bedding area is really at the top of the ridge, and I'll talk about that here in just a second. So Tuesday was kind of a bust for the most part. I didn't see any deer, but I did learn a few things. So it wasn't for naught, and it wasn't a total loss necessarily. So then moving into Wednesday, the weather was just a little bit better, and actually we were getting like a nice change in temperature. At least the wind was still kind of cranking. We've been hunting wind ranging anywhere from, like, you know, 10 being on the low side to, you know, 18 sustained and 25-ish mile per hour gusts. So the days have been kind of windy, which has made it really, you know, kind of a challenge to hunt, because, you know, a lot of times I like to rely on my ears, you know, to hunt, you know, particularly. And this is, you're really kind of having to stay super alert and super attentive and be scanning the entire time, which I'm sure all of you out there kind of, you know, have kind of played into this as well, or have hunted this type of scenario as well. It's like that type of hunting just really kind of wears you out, when you can't just kind of relax. It's not a real relaxing type of hunt whenever you have that much wind, because you can't really hear anything. And if you're not constantly scanning, you're likely going to miss something. So it was back to the top of the ridge, to the location that I've, you know, had been, you know, had hunted the previous 2 days. And when I got in my stand, you know, dark out, of course, I started getting just enough light. I noticed the scrape had opened up right behind my tree. So I was pretty excited to see that. And that was literally, I mean, when I, you know, had a chance to, you know, the sun came up and I had a chance to kind of look at it. I mean, it looked super fresh. I actually even, you know, geeked out and put the binos on it just to kind of see if I could see, you know, how it was. The dirt kind of smashed down. Was it, like, you know, from the day before, or was it from that morning? And it looked to be from that morning, because as windy as it was, I'm sure some leaves would have blown into it, and it was completely clean. So that was made likely that morning before I even got to the stand. So that was a good sign. So I was pretty excited about that. Didn't see anything all day. Again, it was pretty windy until the end of the day. And then finally, I want to say it was probably around 3 o'clock. Had a doe just kind of come barreling through from behind me. From my left shoulder, you know, running just kind of directly behind me. She stopped in this one shooting, you know, lane that I have. Like, behind me, the shooting lanes are really, you know, I think the furthest shot might be 15 yards tops. And that's really just one window. And there's maybe three windows behind me that I could actually get a shot off in. And there's only one place that I really don't have any cover. And that's, of course, where she stopped. So I had to kind of play it cool and try not to get busted, because I knew she was being chased, and so I didn't want to blow her out, and, you know, blow out whoever was following her. And so I played it cool. She ended up getting behind some brush and I was safe. And then I saw the buck whenever she first came barreling through, and he actually cut across this trail where I had a camera set up and looked like he was going to start to come and work his way in front of me. And so I was trying to keep an eye on her and trying to watch where he was going, but I didn't want to move too much because I didn't want her to, you know, her to bust me and blow my cover. And so I ended up losing sight of the buck. And then whenever she finally got behind some brush, I did some quick scanning, and then he crossed back over and got back into the thick stuff. It was coming back up behind her. And now I only had a chance to catch a glimpse and just saw main beam. I didn't see, you know, how big of a deer it was. There was plenty of bone there to see through brush, you know, so it wasn't a, we'll put it this way, he wasn't a spike. Well, yeah, I think I can safely say that. How much he had, I don't 100% know. You know, the left main beam was, it was sizable, but I didn't really speculate for multiple reasons. One, I didn't want to get myself too jonesed up that I missed an opportunity at a good deer. And also, you know, just want to kind of, you know, keep my wits about me, I guess, as I had more hunting to do here over the course of the next few days. They ended up finally working their way off. I never saw the buck again. It seemed like he went down. There's kind of a saddle that sits behind this doe bedding area, and it looked like he kind of dipped down into that saddle. I'm sure he, you know, met up with her again later. Probably didn't leave her alone. I'd be pretty certain of that. So that was the hunt on Wednesday. So today we were supposed to have, you know, and today being Thursday, having a killer temp drop where, you know, I think this morning when I jumped in the truck, it was 25 degrees. And I think the high today was supposed to be 43. And I can guarantee you I did not feel anything close to 43. But, you know, nice temp drop. I believe the pressure was supposed to be high today, if memory serving. And I was getting a straight north wind, which this ridge particularly is awesome to hunt with a straight north wind, because the wind really just kind of rips right up over top my face. And anything behind me that typically would be quote unquote downwind of me never catches a scent, because the wind basically just rips right up over top of the ridge, and in my wind stays high. I was checking with milkweed all day, and I was, you know, and then right on the other side of the ridge, it slopes down immediately. And so anything down the back side of it likely isn't winding me either. So that was kind of the setup for today. So I was really excited about that. Got into the stand and, you know, right shortly after first light, you know, I think first light was right around seven o'clock-ish. I started hearing some deer move, and I couldn't see them yet. They were below me and all that, you know, thick stuff that's right below me. And then finally I saw a doe pop out, and then, you know, put my binos on her just to make sure it was, you know, in fact a doe. And then of course was kind of excited, because I was like, well, I heard something else with this deer. So, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe there's a buck behind her. So I'm watching, another doe popped out. It ended up being five deer in total. One of them was a young, you know, fawn buck. I could see his nubs on top of his head, just, you know, hadn't broken through the fur. He's a youngster. And they all kind of filtered through and fed for, I want to say, probably a half an hour, and then ended up just walking in behind me into the thick stuff behind me off my right shoulder. And they went in there and bedded down, because they ended up popping out throughout the day. I guess they filtered in about 8:30, and then about 9 o'clock, I heard some running behind me, and a buck came barreling through, just a little spike, came up behind me. He came out to about 7 yards, stopped, sniffing around, ended up going right down that logging trail like I had mentioned earlier that they seemed to like to use. He jumped on that and took off, and then I'm trying to think here, those does that ended up filtering in that bedding, they ended up kind of filtering their way back out and feeding. So that's the group of does that I'm thinking that makes that place their home. And they just kind of hung out back in that bedding area all day, and they would pop out every so often and grab some food and eat a little bit, mill around, and then they would jump back in. Then I finally heard some rustling going on behind me that seemed to be a little bit more frantic. You know, it wasn't just them milling around. And then all of a sudden I saw two does kick out and take off running, and they ran up this little knob that's off to my right hand side, and they went up there, and they weren't too worried. They just went up there and they started browsing. And then, but I could still hear some rustling going on in the back, you know, behind me. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this little 6-point pops out, and I think he was back there trying to find a girlfriend, and it just wasn't working out for him. So he hopped out, came, you know, out in front of me, he fell right into one of my shooting lanes at like 25 yards. It was cool to see him just kind of walking around doing buck things. And then about, I guess, I don't know, a half hour later, maybe hour later, I heard more rustling again, does kicked out again. And then this time I saw an 8-point, was able to put my binos on him. He wasn't one that I would have, shot. I would have passed him. He never gave me an opportunity, but he still wasn't, he wasn't on the list, shall we say. So that was kind of cool. He did some chasing back there, and then I have a feeling he carved out a doe because those does ended up filtering, and that fawn buck ended up filtering back behind me from my right to my left. And actually, they bedded down right behind me. The one was bedded down about 15 yards behind me for about an hour, and then they ended up making their way down the ridge. But whenever I saw them pass through, there were now only four instead of five. So I feel like that 8-point probably cut himself out a doe. And was following her and was going to, you know, hang with her until it was time to, breed. So that was, kind of my day. But what I kind of had learned or had started to figure out was like watching these deer and watching these, you know, watching those bucks and I guess watching these does is that, you know, the north wind is, you know, I have to go back and look historically, you know, but I feel like a north wind on this ridge is the wind that, and I know that's just typically a nice wind. Like everyone kind of hopes for that north wind, usually brings some colder temperatures, but that north wind, I think the deer really like, because I feel like when they're on that ridge top, they've got the wind in their face and they're in their dope and they're in their bedding area, which they feel safe in. And so I feel like they feel like they're bulletproof, but if you set up kind of where I'm set up, like your wind is basically, you know, spot on, to where you won't get busted. Like I said, they bedded for an hour behind me, directly downwind of me. Like you couldn't get any more downwind and had no clue that I was there. So that was the one kind of thing that I learned. And the other thing was too, is that, you know, is to, especially maybe on a north wind, who knows, you know, it might be, you know, an opportunity to hunt that logging trail, that logging road that comes up, especially on a morning. I'm not sure how good it would be in the evening. And like I said earlier, I think it would probably be better as you get into, you know, more like the end of October kind of time frame, versus this week necessarily, because most of that, you know, that doe bedding's at the top, and that's, you know, where I see all the buck activity, and that's where it all starts. Now it may filter down to that logging trail, but that's you know, you're banking on this time of year, at least, that you're banking on that buck not finding a hot doe to kind of pursue. Which in that doe bedding area, it's probably, you know, it's going to be very likely that they're going to find a hot doe if that's their intent when they walk in there. Whether they win or not, or whether they cut her out or not is a different story, but, you know, that's where the game is played. So that's really the update for the past 3 days. You know, now the plan for tomorrow is it's supposed to be rain again, high winds. You know, so I'm going to just kind of play the weather by ear tomorrow morning. If it's nasty and blowing, I probably won't go out because it doesn't seem like the deer are moving with these higher winds, especially with the, if it's a driving rain. If it's just kind of a mist and it's not too bad, then I'll hit it. Otherwise, I'll wait and do an evening hunt and get back on it. You know, likely I'll go in and set up as the rain is stopping versus waiting for it to stop. I like to be there. I like to be in the tree when the rain stops, because that's usually whenever you'll see, or typically when I've seen the best movement on those rainy type of days. So that's the update for the past 3 days. I have two more days of hunting to go here. Oh, one last thing I forgot to mention is I actually checked the camera as well while I was in there. I guess it was 2 days ago, not this evening, but I guess Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or was it Tuesday? Might have been Tuesday, actually, because we had a rain coming over the night on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. And so I went and grabbed that camera car to take a look at it because, you know, with the rain coming, it would wash any of my scent out from crossing over any trails or anything. And that hammer that I had on camera is back. He just keeps giving me the slip. He just happens to show up when I'm not there. So hopefully the plan is to try to catch up with him over the course of the next 2 days. If not, I'm already kind of making plans to try to make the trip out over Thanksgiving to try to chase him again. But we'll stay positive for the next 2 days on Friday and Saturday and hope that I get it done then and we'll not have to spend Thanksgiving in a tree, but around a table eating turkey. So with that, that's the update for the last couple of days. So we'll hit you up here with the next 2 days and kind of wrap up the rut log on Saturday, and we'll be talking to y'all tomorrow. All right, folks, that is a wrap for today's show. We'd like to thank all of you for listening, and if you haven't yet, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We'd be super appreciative if you'd be able to do those two things for us. And before we shut this thing down, I need to give a big shout out to our partners that continue to help us make this podcast possible. Wicked Tree Gear, Exodus Outdoor Gear, Trophy Ridge, Ozonics, Obsession Bows, Tecumseh Seed, Glacier Coolers, Ramcat Broadheads, Trophy Taker Rests, and Dead Downwind. And until next time, we'll see y'all.
November's on my heels. Makes me proud, makes me steal. I could show you through the door. I ain't welcome anymore. And long time coming, if at all. It takes a special knowing to call a fall. Damaged heads, broken letters. Rationalize yourself in numbers, but I gotta get away from here. Gotta get away from here. Oh, 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 oh.
All right, gang, the new Truth merch is in stock at truthfromthestand.com and on YouTube below any of the Truth from the Stand videos. I've got some new hats, beanies, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, and sweatshirts. There's even a new do hard shit hat for those of us who like to embrace microdosing adversity. So head to truthfromthestand.com and check out the new gear and use the code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and save yourself some cash on the new gear.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.